From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here, continuing our conversation about the mysteries of Transylvania, the real Transylvania, in Romania. And Shelley, you are looking through the goggles that I got, and you know, I don't know if these are aviator goggles, driving goggles. What? There is some kind of European stamp on them, and I've tried to research them. I can't figure out anything about them. What do you think when you look through those glass lenses?
They are so cool. I mean, they're a bit cloudy with stuff on the lenses I didn't even think about. And did you notice they have little vents in the sides there so they don't fog up?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is so wild. This is a fabulous find.
And at that same shop, I bought some metal shot glasses that have a little coat of arms on them.
Aww.
Yeah, which is part of my, you know, little bar collection now. I got some neat stuff, but those goggles intrigue me. I'm able to see things that I cannot see otherwise. And it was nice for us to spend time antiquing there. And, of course, next, Shelley, this is when things really started getting nutty. We went to this town called Hunedoara. And when we rolled into Hunedoara, we went to our hotel room, got everything set up there in the hotel, and there is a castle called Hunyad Castle. And Hunyad is pretty much the most famous castle, supposedly, in Romania. It looks exactly like any vampire castle that you've ever seen
any
vampire movie.
So impressive.
Now, if you're a tourist, you can visit Hunyad Castle till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they close down. We, however, being paranormal investigators, we rented the castle out till about 1 o'clock in the morning with a special feast at the castle. So imagine this. It's about sundown. As the sun is setting, you know, during that magic hour, the colors are just popping. Everything looks so dreamlike and surreal. And there's this big wooden drawbridge across a moat. And we go walking across this wooden drawbridge. And the suspense was just incredible as we were heading into this big old Gothic castle that's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. When we went into the courtyard, there was an open area, of course, and then we passed into this chamber that had walls that were like 70 feet tall, and inside they had a traditional Romanian feast set up for us, buffet style. And the lighting was sort of like utility lighting, so for some reason it kind of reminded me of like Jurassic Park. You know how Spielberg likes to play with light and shadows and fog, and they were lighting the whole place with these big yellow, you know, utility lights. And we sat down, and everybody had a lot of fun. I mean, we had wine and local beer, and then we got up and we helped ourselves to this fantastic, you know, buffet. And after that was done, it was time for us to split up and investigate. Well, there were a lot of spooky places. One place that stands out in my mind, they called the Bear Pit. Now, right outside this castle was this deep area sectioned off. And basically, back in the day, the kings would have bears and wolves and, you know, various wild animals down in this pit, and they would feed people to these wild animals. So talk about a creepy, haunted spot. So we realized that, you know, this place is so huge, we need to just divide and conquer. They opened up special sections of the castle just for us. In fact, Christian, who owns the company, Go Romania Tours, if you're going to go to Romania, you need to use Go Romania Tours. Anyway, Christian said that he's been doing tours for years and years. He'd never seen some of the sections of the castle they opened for us. And he said he knew another guy who'd been doing tours for like 10 years, and this guy had never seen some of the places they opened. So here was my personal experience, and then we'll broaden this out. There was a chapel there, and there was a ground level to the chapel. If you walked into the ground level, you would see what looked like a sarcophagus, a stone sarcophagus with a man who looked like a knight sort of laid out on the lid. They would not let us go into the ground level of the chapel because it was too sacred. There was a big wooden door that was locked off. We couldn't go to the ground level, but there was a balcony, and they would let us go onto the balcony, so you are looking down on this scene, right? So at one point, I was in the chapel in the balcony area with Lauren and several other people from the group. And if you're listening and you were a part of the expedition, and I don't mention your name, it's not because that I've forgotten you, but I personally, after many years of broadcasting, I don't like mentioning people's names without their permission. That just, to me, that's courtesy. Sometimes I get on the radio and I tell a story and I say, one person saw this or that, and then I get an email and they're like, do you remember me? I was the person. And they want, you know, their name used on the radio. But unless I explicitly have permission to use somebody's name, I avoid it, even in all the news stories. I don't see an upside to taking that risk. Anyway, I was in there with a small group of people. We're looking down on this chapel area. It was deadly quiet. I mean, just absolutely silent, absolutely calm. And then all of a sudden we heard this boom, right? And we all jumped like, what the heck was that? Now, mind you, I'm rolling video when this happens. Nice high-definition video. And then we heard what sounded like a pebble or a rock that was tossed, and it went, and it bounced across the floor, and it echoed. Well, at this point, one of the guys who was with us, and okay, I will go ahead and use his first name. His name's Mike. Mike said, what the heck was that? I want to make sure there's not somebody in this chapel with us. And just to clarify, you know, the chapel is a section inside the castle. So Mike goes, I'm going to go down and make sure nobody's in this chapel in the lower level. So he went down and he confirmed that the door was locked. There was nobody there. He came back up, and again, we kept hearing what sounded like a rock or a pebble being thrown, bouncing across the floor. The whole thing, the whole time, captured on my video camera. And then finally, it was quiet. Quiet, quiet, quiet. So we were like, well, that was weird. Let's move on to another area. So we left that section. After we left that section, the first little segment of our group that I encountered, one of the ladies ran up to me and said, Josh, guess what happened? Somebody just threw a rock at us. I was like, really? Yeah. And they told me this big story about like a rock or a pebble being thrown at them. And then I encountered another group. Same thing. Josh. All of our little segmented groups all around the property in the castle were having things thrown at them. And Radu, our guide, said that he was with the security people. And if there was any doubt, you know, if there was any question that the security guys were messing around with us. Radu was like, look, I know these guys. They're good guys. I was with them. Nobody was messing with you. Nobody was throwing anything. Pebbles were getting thrown at people. One lady, I'll use her name, Stephanie, it just so happened to be her birthday that day. She not only had a pebble thrown at her, she kept the pebble that was thrown at her. I tweeted a picture of the pebble, I think. Did I show
mm-hmm.
it? Okay.
Yes.
And ordinarily, I would have bought it or talked her into giving me this thing to put into my museum here in Asheville, the Asheville Mystery Museum. But I was like, it's her birthday. This was a gift for her from the other side. And so she still has this pebble that was thrown at her by a ghost. After we left that night, we all got together in the lobby of the hotel, and everybody started talking about their experiences. Turns out, Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio, Dave Schrader saw an apparition that night. He saw a form move by him. Andrea Carter was with Dave, and Andrea told me I could use her name. Andrea was with Dave, and she can confirm both of them saw an apparition. There was another fella who's, you know, Ron was his name. He saw a weird luminous form in one of the areas. So we had like at least three people who saw ghosts. Susan, she said that something, you know, touched her. I think it was Susan. Maybe it was Shelby. Susan or Shelby won. Anyway, everybody was having experiences. What happened to you in Hunyad Castle?
Well, I was with Patty, who had the experience, and we were with Dave in a big... Our group kept getting bigger. Everybody kept coming around. We were in the tower, and Patty was sitting on the floor right in front of this kind of low wall, and right beyond the wall is this long... long way to a window. It was a really long recessed area that led to a window. And I kept feeling like I saw a little figure. And then all of a sudden she kind of let out the sound and a big rock fell on the top of her day pack.
So here we are having all these physical experiences, and we got to take a break here, but this was the lead up to what became something much more intense when we went to the next town, Sigishwara, which is where Shelley and Patty had some very crazy stuff happen to them. You're going to hear the actual audio. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for this. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Just tuning in. Some people don't believe, don't know that Transylvania is a real place. Well, trust me, it is. It's not easy to get there. And once you get there, it's like slipping into a Brothers Grimm tale. It's like walking into some fantasy, some surreal, dreamy movie. You feel yourself merge into another dimension. Big soaring mountains with bare rock faces, fog and mist seething around them, snow caps in the back, quaint little villages. And as you travel the winding, narrow, steep roads, you turn a bend and you find these rocky outcroppings of these Gothic castles that are just perched, ever watchful on the landscape below. You see bundled old ladies with their walking sticks, and men herding goats, and people working the garden. That's what it's like to go to Transylvania. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Shelley, you know where that music was from?
Yeah, Dracula?
You'd never guess this one. You'd never guess. You know, the funny thing is, here I am playing music from all of these really, you know, serious films about Dracula, and they're not nearly as dramatic as the music from this film. Forrest, you want to tell us what that movie is?
Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
That's the Leslie Nielsen spoof on Dracula. And it's funny, you know, when you find that with music, just like the music from Young Frankenstein, sometimes I play that at Halloween. It sounds like a very serious, emotional score, and I don't know how that happens. Anyway, by the way, you know, this show is brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to sunshinesimple.com and see the generator that my team and I created. You can watch the free video there. And now's the time to get one when the weather's nice, because it's not going to be nice very long. Go to sunshinesimple.com. So here we were in this big castle. People are seeing ghosts. People are being shoved. Stones are being thrown at us. And we found out the next day that there was an earthquake in Romania that night. Do you remember that, Shelley?
I remember that.
And earthquakes enhance all the electrical and electromagnetic energy in the air. So, you know, maybe one of the reasons it was such an active night paranormally was that there was an earthquake going on. Anyway, the next day, here we are driving even deeper into Transylvania. And it was a rainy day. A lot of flooding going on. Very, very foggy. And we actually went through some areas where the road had broken off and collapsed down into a muddy stream. I mean, it was creepy. I'm sure you looked out the window and were like, you were sitting right up there. Up
front. I was in the front seat. Yes. I mean, can see everything.
Yeah, the road's breaking off.
It is kind of scary.
And I mean, if suddenly the road had collapsed under us, that bus would have done a flip and we'd been toast. So it was quite a relief to get to the town of Sighișoara, which is the best preserved old medieval town in all of Europe. I mean, all I can tell you is go look at pictures. You know, how do you describe Sighișoara, Shelley?
It was magical. It was everything that you could hope for. It was just this gem in time. It was amazing. It was my favorite. That was my favorite place.
Yeah, mine too. And it's also the birthplace of Vlad. So here you are with the cobblestone streets, all these narrow, you know, little passages and alleyways, and yet there's a sweeping view of the village down below, and, you know, gypsies are running around. It was really, really just amazing. And the first night we were there, I actually went off to a different place. You dined at an establishment at the actual birthplace of Dracula, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I ended up in a place called the Club B, which was a vampire kind of bar.
Met up with you there later.
Yeah, and I walked in, and this is one example of Dracula commercialism. They had a slot machine called Dracula's Jackpot. And so I'm just sitting here pumping lay, which is what they call their currency, into this machine, trying to hit Dracula's Jackpot. I did win a good deal of money, but then I just burned it right up immediately because I never hit the jackpot. So I gambled, I drank, I ate pizza. Did you have any of the pizza?
I had some pizza.
They brought some pizza in. Oh, great. Did you have the good pizza?
I had different pizza than you did.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So the next day, we took this tour with Radu. We went to a fortified church. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll see this photograph that Lauren took in this fortified church. There was one area called the sacristy. And the sacristy was their most secure place. It's like their vault room, you know, where they would keep, who knows, untold treasure, artifacts, and whatnot. And in fact, the door was like a big safe door, and they would turn one big mechanism, and there were like 15 points that would snap into place to lock this door. It was amazing. And there was a wooden, looked like a treasure chest sitting there, and Lauren took a picture of it, and you can see in the photo some kind of an anomaly that's shooting through the picture there.
I was there when she took that photo.
Were you?
I was, but I don't remember her going back and looking at it and saying, but then you usually don't realize that something's in the photograph until you go back and look.
Yeah. In the church there, at the pulpit, they had the all-seeing eye on top of the pulpit. And if you look on the dollar bill, you know, you look at the top of the pyramid, you see an eyeball there with rays of light coming out. Very Masonic type of emblem that was there since the 1700s. It was a very cool place. Once we were done with that, we went into Sigishwara, and everybody kind of did their own thing. And that's when I went into a great antique shop there. And I bought some of the crucifixes and some of the other cool stuff that I'm working into a new display for my museum. Go to hauntedasheville.com. A new display for the museum about Transylvania. So anyway, here is what also made that day special. We had a couple ladies in our group who both had birthdays during the course of the trip. I've already mentioned Stephanie. The other was Shelby. And we had a dinner planned in the basement of a haunted hotel. And we wanted to do something special for the ladies that night. And we couldn't figure out what we needed to do. Well, I was having dinner a few days, maybe a day or two prior, at one of our stops. And one of the ladies I was dining with said, "You know what the perfect name would be for a male stripper?" I said, "What?" She said, "Vlad the Impaler." And I said, "Wow, that is an awesome stripper name. I've never thought of that. I've never made that connection." So we concoct this crazy idea. What if we hire a male stripper? Basically, I get up in front of the group. We've had a nice dinner. We've had plenty of palinka. And I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Vlad the Impaler." And then a guy comes walking in, and he's dressed like Vlad. He's got a gown on. He's got the long black hair. He has the hat. He's got the mustache. And the next thing you know, and he rips it off, and he's dancing, right? So I went to Christian, and I said, "Christian, can you make this happen? Can we do this for these ladies? I want a man dressed as Vlad the Impaler to come in after dinner and just break it down." And so Christian goes, "Well, let's establish some guidelines. You know, do you want the guy fully naked or not?" And I said, no, let's just have him like in a G-string. Let me clarify something, okay? I've never participated in the hiring of a male stripper before. This was a first for me. But I said, "No, let's not do fully nude." So we established the time, how he was going to look, and he wasn't supposed to touch anybody. It was just a guy who was supposed to come in. It was going to be a funny thing. Well, we're up on a break. Turns out, yeah, we got a stripper. But he did not follow any of my guidelines.
Something got lost in the translation.
When we come back from the break, I will tell you what happened when the stripper came out that night. And all I can tell you is I don't think I'll ever hire a male stripper again. But the complete story when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. What do you think? Can you name the movie? What?
I saw this one.
Really?
Yes.
You know it?
Yes.
You know it?
Yes.
What is it?
Van Helsing.
Yes.
Woo!
Wow. I can't believe that. You got that and you missed two or three others that were far simpler than this.
Hugh Jackman was in it.
Oh, that's what it is, huh?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Now you sound like Lauren Warren. I don't see what the big deal is with Hugh Jackman. Do you, Forrest?
No.
I don't know. Forrest, you sounded like maybe you like Hugh Jackman a little bit.
Well, just a little bit, but don't tell anyone.
Hey, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Would you have liked to have been there for the male stripper, Forrest?
From what I've heard, I don't know.
So, the male stripper was supposed to come in dressed like Vlad. He was supposed to not get fully naked. He was not supposed to touch the ladies. And he pretty much did the opposite of everything that I had requested. The guy showed up like 90 minutes late.
Yes.
He wasn't dressed as Vlad.
Thank God.
He got totally butt-ass naked.
Yes.
And he touched the ladies.
Uh-huh.
So it was a wild, raucous party. But, you know, word to the wise, if you hire a stripper in Romania, you never know.
It was fun.
Did you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was very, very funny.
It was.
I was actually crying. I was laughing so much.
I was, too. It was great.
Yes.
And the birthday girls, they had a fun time, too.
Yes, they actually did. I'm glad they were good sports about everything. They knew what was coming, and, yeah, they had a blast.
Yes.
So, obviously, that's just an don't expect that if you go next year.
Don't expect a stripper.
On Dave Schrader and Jeff Belanger's version of this, I cannot guarantee there will be a male stripper. But here's the more serious thing, okay? Everybody had a crazy night in this. We were in a bona fide haunted hotel. It was called Hotel Siggy Shore. We had the party, everybody went out and did their own thing, and then at some point, Shelley, you and Patricia went back to your room. Now, Forrest, in a minute, we're going to play some audio clips here. You got those things queued up? Okay. So, you and Patricia went back to your room.
Not together.
Okay. Who?
We split up. Now, she stayed at Hotel Sigeshwara, and she participated in the ghost hunt after the stripper left.
Right.
And she had a couple of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
She had her hair tugged a couple of times, pretty hard. I can't remember. It seems like she might have got an EVP. I don't remember. I just remember the hair because she demonstrated how hard it was on me. When she met back up with me, she told me about this. She told me she wasn't feeling very well, so she was going to go back to the hotel and lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back in a few hours later.
Okay, so here you are and the most well-preserved ancient medieval city in all of Europe.
Yes.
It's late at night. You've just gotten done with a crazy party.
Yes.
You guys are back in your room.
She's back. I came back in after she'd been in the room for a few hours.
Okay. What happened?
I walk in. The room is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Brush my teeth, come back out of the room, and it is really cold in there. I didn't remember it being that cold when I walked in, but the windows were open, two windows, and I thought, well, you know, I don't remember it being that cold outside, but maybe it was. It's making Patty feel better, so I'm going to leave them open. I'm just going to kick my shoes off and get, didn't want to wake her up, but I'm looking through the darkness trying to find this thing because I was angry. It was trying to attack me, and it was on. I was going to find it. And I'm looking around. She calls out my name, which I wasn't expecting, and I give a little yelp, and she's like, what's wrong? What happened? Are you okay? Well, yes, but this thing just came down and tried to attack me. It just came down from the ceiling and tried to cover me. She said, really? Well, guess what happened to me? A few hours ago when I first came in, I'm laying in bed, and I feel like something keeps looking down at me from the ceiling. And then she fell asleep. She woke back up to the sound of me rummaging through our suitcases and the plastic bags that we had our souvenirs in. So she grabs her phone, and she hits the flashlight app on it, and she turns around to point it at me, and I'm not there. All that noise she heard, and there was nobody there. So then she falls back asleep, and she woke up right before I came back in. And she said the room was perfectly comfortable. And then I come in the room, and the temperature drops like 20 degrees. And then I give my little yelp. So we decide we're going to cut the light on, we're going to grab our equipment, and we're going to see what we can find. And she closed the windows, she set up her voice recorder, grabbed her iPhone so she could snap pictures, I grabbed my digital camera so I could snap pictures, and it's around 3 o'clock in the morning, and we just go to town snapping and asking questions, and the pictures that she took, that's what's on your website.
Yes, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, again, no period after the P, go to joshuapwarren.com, you can see this thing zipping around the room. And Patty was recording what was going on that night.
Yes.
Now, some of the clips we cannot air because the language is so bad, it would just be a lot of bleeping.
It would be. I was very angry at this thing, and I felt provoked, so I was going to provoke.
So, okay, the first file we have here, Forrest, it's called Are You in the Bathroom? And Forrest is going to bring this thing up here in a little bit, and we're going to play it. But basically, in Patricia's description, she says this is in our room when the banging sounds that we heard moved from between our beds to the wall where the bathroom was.
Right.
And she says it did not sound like it was coming from the bathroom, though. It sounded like it was still in our room.
Right. This was towards the end.
Okay, well, we'll just play them as she sent them to me.
Okay.
I'm not sure of the order that they're in. Do we need a little time? Okay, yeah, so Forrest is getting this one downloaded right now. And so let me just ask you this. Let's get this out of the way. We have these audio clips. You guys are both advanced graduates of the Warren Institute of Paranormal Studies.
Right.
You're being attacked in the middle of Transylvania in an ancient hotel room at night.
Right.
Why don't you have video footage of this?
We didn't have video cameras. When we
did
this... Your
cell phone can't shoot video?
Well, I didn't even think about it. First of all, it was me that was being attacked, and I just wanted to snap photos and just kind of get a lay of the land. I wanted to investigate around the bed where most of this was happening, and that's what we did. We looked under, we looked around, we tried to find the source of what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, and let me just say, to support what you're saying, you can plan all you want to, But when the moment actually happens and paranormal stuff starts breaking out in the middle of the night and you're not expecting it, some of the basic logical things that you would think people would do, they don't register the same way.
No.
Your mind is in a different state altogether.
This hotel was not built to be haunted.
Well, I think the whole town of Siegeshwar is haunted.
Well, yeah, it was.
It's Dracula's birthplace. Okay, so are we ready to go ahead and play this? Here's the first clip called Are You in the Bathroom? Courtesy of Patricia DeMint, who recorded this stuff. Forrest is working on bringing it up here. And if we have some technical problems, then, you know, we'll make sure that we get it before, or we'll make sure we get it for you after we come back from the break. But gremlins are in the machines here.
Gotta love them.
So I have three files that we're going to play on the show tonight. The first one, this one I just talked about. The second one is called Bang Number One, which I guess, you know, she kind of sent these to me out of order, but who cares? And that was what she said the first time it sounded like something was being thrown at you guys.
Right. We started asking questions, and then it sounded like we were having stones or, well, pebbles or marbles being thrown at us. It sounded like they were hitting the walls and hitting the floors. And we set to looking about to try and find out exactly where it sounded like it was coming from and find these things.
All right, so Forrest, what's going on?
It's playing. It's not coming through the system here.
Okay. Well, in that case, I tell you what, let's talk about what happened a little bit more, and then when we come back from the break, we'll play these clips.
Right.
Great cliffhanger anyway, right?
Right.
So again, the first one we have here is Are You in the Bathroom? The second one is when it sounded like something was being thrown at you. Patricia writes, the sound was not behind the walls. It was about a foot to my left between our beds and very loud. And then the third file is called Give Us a Sign. Bang, and she says it's self-explanatory. And I've heard these, and basically, you know, you're saying, give us, well, we need to take a break. We'll take the break. When we come back, hopefully we'll have these clips for you. And, yes, this is turning into a three-part series. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around to hear these clips when we return. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Just as we suspected, this is going to turn into a three-part series about our trip to Transylvania. But hey, why not? Trip of a lifetime. And I think next week we'll be able to wrap everything up. We also have a guest that we're working on for next week. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Keep in mind, the Dark 30 hour is coming up. We are not sacrificing the Dark 30 hour for our special series because there's just too much bizarro, twisted, perverted stuff happening. We, you know, it's our duty to keep you informed. But here in the final minutes of hour number two tonight, we're going to give you some actual clips that Patricia DeMint recorded in the hotel room in Siegeshwar the night that she was there with Shelley and Shelley was being attacked by this dark entity. Yes, Shelley.
Are you certain that you are not about to air the one that...
I'm certain.
You're, okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. There are some that we cannot air due to language. These will be, if we air something and you have a problem, let me know.
No, I don't have a problem. I just, you know that there's certain language that can't be used.
I have gone through all the clips, and we should be fine. So, the first file we're going to play for you, Patricia titled, Are You in the Bathroom? And her description is, once again, this is in our room in the Casa Wagner when the banging sounds we heard moved from between our beds to the wall where the bathroom was. It did not sound like it was coming from the bathroom, though. It sounded like it was still in our room. Here we go.
Are you in the bathroom?
Okay, that simple. Let's play it one more time. You can hear that. Okay.
Are you in the bathroom?
The second file is called Bang Number One, and Patricia writes, this is the first time something sounded like it was being thrown at us. The sound was not behind the walls. It was about a foot to my left between our beds and very loud. Here we go.
Do you want help? Because if it's anything else and you woke us up out of a dead sleep, well, Patty out of a dead sleep, you just threw something at us? Really? Really? That's rude.
That's...
Yeah. What the hell are you throwing at us?
Okay, so let's play that one more time.
Do you want help? Because if it's anything else, and you woke us up out of a dead sleep, well, Patty out of a dead sleep, you just threw something at us? Really? Really? That's rude.
That's...
Yeah. What the hell are you throwing at us?
Okay, now before we play this next clip, did you see an object thrown?
No.
So why did you say you're throwing something at us? How did you make that connection?
It just sounded like something, like somebody threw something.
I mean, obviously there's a very distinct noise in the room.
Yes.
So it sounded like you were being targeted.
Yes. We are standing still. We are asking questions. And all of a sudden it sounds like something is hitting the wall or the floor.
Okay, so this third file, Patricia says, is self-explanatory. It's called Give Us a Sign, and she says it happened very soon after the first bang. Here we go.
You want to give us a sign that you're actually listening to us? You're going to keep throwing things, really?
One more time.
You want to give us a sign that you're actually listening to us? You're going to keep throwing things, really?
So, I mean, it sounds like a box. I mean, I'm thinking in my mind, it sounds like a box of matches or something just like, you know, thrown down in the middle of the floor. But you didn't see anything.
No, we looked everywhere. We looked where it sounded like it was coming from. We looked everywhere.
It sounds like it's in the room with you for sure.
Oh, definitely. And we're looking around, we're moving furniture, looking under the bed, looking everywhere. And we don't know what it is. We don't see anything. You know, you hear all this stuff. Finally, it gets to the point where it's like, we're just going to throw everything at them. So I don't know if she sent that sound clip or not, but it sounded like whatever. It sounded like, okay, I've got this much left. I'm just going to throw everything at them at once.
Now, here's one thing that's interesting that I will point out, and it's not so PC to talk about this sort of thing, but back in those days when lines were drawn very clear among cultures, you had the Romanians who had dark hair, and then you had the Saxons that had lighter hair, and every person who had something thrown at them at Castle Hunyad had dark hair. It was a woman with dark hair. The only person who was a woman who saw a ghost was Andrea Carter, who also has very, very blonde hair. She probably had the longest, blondest hair. Nothing was thrown at her, but she saw a ghost. You, Shelley, are the Strigoi here with the red hair, so, you know, you're the freak, basically, as usual.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder if, you know, if you put yourself in the mindset of a person who was in that country hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, if there would have been a resistance, you know, throwing things at some of you guys based upon how you look. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. This is when we dig into the most outrageous and often offensive stuff. If you're easily offended, turn off the radio. If there are kiddies around, turn off the radio. We're going to give you the news that is just way out there. That's why we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and we air it late at night. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. On both coasts. It's called Speaking of Strange.